This morning I'm turning to the second book of Timothy, chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, and I'll read to you verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This morning, our subject for meditation is the foundation of God, the foundation of God. None of it. Yes, somewhere we can be rich now. As some ways to say, Yanko Pony Papim. Ah, what is he for? Yanko Pony Papim. And I actually see 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And this epistle of 2 Timothy, was written to Timothy by Apostle Paul. And Timothy was a missionary companion of Apostle Paul. And he left Timothy at Ephesus to take care of the church as a pastor and also do other things that are needful there at the time. We know this from the first epistle, the first Timothy 1 verse 3. He left Timothy there on their mission work. And he was there as a pastor, as I said, and especially his task was to teach and to maintain the doctrines of the gospel. Apostle Paul preached in that city and the church was formed. Many were saved. There was confusion also in the city, and he had to leave. But then he left Timothy there to take care of the church. And when he was leaving, per the letters, we see that there were false teachers, even at the time, who have come into the church and teaching other things which they did not teach, and also trying to confuse people who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And these false teachers were misleading some in the church, as I've said. And he mentions to us two of them, these false teachers in verse 17. He tells us Hymenaeus and Philetus. And they were corrupting the things, the gospel truth they have taught them. And these two men taught that the resurrection of the dead had already happened. You know, the gospel, the message of the gospel, the main subject, the resurrection of Christ, because his resurrection that brought victory for us over which the work of redemption he came to do, the resurrection that makes the final work complete, make the work complete for us. And but these people were teaching otherwise about it. And in that resurrection, we are told that the believers will rise to eternal life also, and sinners to be resurrected to eternal damnation. And so, these people were saying that, well, the resurrection of believers, when Christ returns, has already happened. And this is a great thing to think of. But the believers were hoping that Christ, when Christ comes, the dead will rise up, and the believers will be changed, and they will meet him up in the sky. And here, these people are teaching that it has already happened, and yet the believers were still alive and nothing has happened to them. So in teaching this, they mean that future punishment for sin is not going to happen, and also that Christ's return is not to be expected anymore by the church. And then what would the church do? The suffering of the church and everything, they were suffering for Christ because they know that one day he will come. And then he will come and take them from the troubles and to eternal life. And now these people are teaching that the resurrection has passed. That means Christ is not coming anymore. There's no future judgment. Okay. They can now pay Apostle Paul letter or Chokoma Timothy. No, they know and Amir Juma. Do episode no okay mesema sorry start with episode. No, yeah, Timothy was on sure sorry so na on shall say or the four. Now on some so and church and some more and some panel a church if I Christ in a sorry on if we say mra of your known who said a be more a church and church of one a far and some panel. A bit of or say how many was me file to Omo no a church said yeah in some panel church said Christ would be an
enti opɔsoro ahemme na mmom no ɔbɛsan aba ada ɔbɛba no kristofo ne agyadifo ewu no bɛnyane ɛne ɔmɛte asɛm so bɛka wo ne akɔ yesu kristo nkyɛn ne no akɔtena afebɔ a yɛ ahotɔsoɔ sɛ yɛgye kristo di a ɛma yɛ nkanya sɛ yɛbrɛ kora ma no anaasɛ deɛ ɛbɛyɛ biara no ɛha yɛ firi sɛ ne sɛ kristo bɛba ama yɛ ɛna nkyɛkyɛ a ɔmokyerɛkyerɛ ɛfa kyerɛ saa de kristo ɛwusɔre no aba awie sɛ dame kristo nya mba bio kristo nya mba bio firi sɛ ɛwerɛ ɔbɛba da saa de bɛsi na asɔrefo dɛn na ɔsɔ hɔyɛ ɛbɛma ɔm anidasoɔ ne ɔm gyedi ɔwɔ kristo mu no ayɛmmerɛ ɛna saa nkyɛkyɛ a ɔmokyerɛ sɛ ɛwusɔre no nso abɛtwam no ɛnso kyerɛ sɛ ɛneɛ daakye atɛmmu a ɔhɔ ma bɔne no sɛ bible kyerɛ sɛ kristo ba a ɔbɛtwe awiase adebɔnefoɔ aso no nso no anaasɛ ɛnyɛ bɛkɔ atɛmmu mu nnipa firi sɛ bible kyerɛ sɛ ada a kristo bɛba no na saa adeɛ bɛsi nti sɛ ɛwusɔre no abade a ɛndeɛ yɛsɛ yɛde to kristo sɛ ɔbɛba biara so anidaso bia ni hɔ da nka bia ni hɔ bɔne asotwe nso ni hɔ ɛti na ɛyɛ nkyerɛkyerɛ bɔne paa so this was a very serious error. Which was very, and it is interesting. These people have also joined themselves to the church, and these are the things they were teaching. So this idea leads to godless and pointless life. There is no judgment to come. There is no day that Christ will come for believers. Then why should I believe in Him? It was a doctrine that was really weakening, trying to confuse what the gospel really stands for. And no doubt this error was very great. The gospel tells us that it even overthrew the faith of some. In verse 8, and those that their faith were overthrown were not genuinely believers because they were not entirely believing the gospel. Those who entirely believe in the gospel of Christ and who have known the Lord Jesus Christ, their faith can never be taken away. They can never be subverted by false teaching. That is sure. That is true. Christians, true Christians are not swept away by human opinions because they verify everything by the scripture and they believe that the Bible is true. The Spirit has worked in their hearts to make them realize the truthness of the truth of God, the gospel, and everything. True believers can never be swept away by anything. If people, remember Apostle John said, they left us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have stayed. And that's how it is. You see, the God tells us in our verse 90, God, the main phrase that I want, the expression is this, never let the foundation of God stand sure. Because those that The very truth which God has laid down for the faith of true believers, all who are genuinely in Christ, is very solid, is stable, and is unshakable by anything. That's what Paul is trying to tell us here. The faith, the very truth. Because when we talk of faith, nowadays, this charismatic, there's in a faith the world, something that I think I can do and I believe I can do. No, that's not faith in the Bible. Faith in the Bible is what God has said, and I rest my hopes on it. That's faith. So if I say I'm living by faith, that means I'm living on what God has said in every situation of my life. That's the life of faith. If you take away, if you take this one away, there's no faith. The Bible teaches. Well, there's other faith with confidence there. I can do. That's no faith. That's confidence and trying to do whatever I want to do. But the faith, the gospel truth, you know, why also the foundation of God's salvation? Because, you know, the truth of the Bible, they are not just mere words. When we read them or hear them, and we think of them, the Holy Spirit enforces this in our minds. He makes it real to us. It's like how a scientist will prove, maybe he has invented something, he will prove that this is how I did it. That's how the Spirit does in our heart. So when he has proven that this is how I did it, who can doubt him? Yes, this is it. And now they will do maybe the calculation and show you how they did it. But then, so there's, in the spiritual sense, the Spirit also works in our heart, and really, we see that this is true, and we can never be swept away from it. So, as I said, the American said, "Sir, and church, you know, and church, one power was from the moon. Ah, na Emma, the public bridge, the October. Now, Omo, the top of Hanoi, Omo, and far more rain shake, Christo, and send Father Mudding. Omo, I won't be with the Pastor Mu from a rain too. So, if you say Bible chance, oh, be Biara, Ukraine, what did you say, you know? Be being able to make him immediately. In church, only being able to make him a Christo in Ukraine. If we say, Nipa, not draining in some can't be anywhere, able to me, actually, Christo, Nipa, if he, Yakupon is there, and see that. And now, for Spoka, And for whom the air also, Nanko Pony Fatima or dear Sibono, it's a hoping thing. Ukraine and Pony, and of course, Ukraine and Pony, and of course, mom dia mo rashe de gono enti mi entwe mo fu Kristo una be ka se de enti na yakopon ni je di ejina ne fapem je okin te fi se ne kreno a fapem no chere no nkonkon no e ma de di wo ye ni a etie no se fesi ye di ere to so a o ma de di mayen me hu se ne kre na e hu se ne kre ye enti bi bia do so that is it. The truth of God are not mere theories to put in our minds. Those who believe, the Spirit have worked in their hearts. He has enlightened them, and then he daily it confirms it to their heart, and they are willing to just rest in it. You see. So this morning I will speak about this foundation further. I will speak about this foundation which God has laid down to be believed, on which salvation of our souls depends. That is it. God, this foundation is the only foundation which the salvation of our souls depends. If we want God to save us genuinely, if we want God to save us from the power of sin, Satan, in the world. Here, this is the foundation. This is only truth that is sure to make us be saved. And that's only. The other thing that makes us say, if you want to write me, self-appearing, you go on, and you have to avoid it. That makes us say, self-appearing, you pray, and you go on, you have to warm up. Just said here, if you see a young Kajia, or see a Jidi, and who's that weapon, like a red. So he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Well, the word foundation is an architectural term. It's an architectural term which those who build structures. But, I mean, like this, how this building we have, there's a foundation, there's a work done that we put up the superstructure. This is an architectural term, and it refers to, as I said, the base of the building, and which the whole building rests. Whilst we are here, the foundation, the whole building here rests on the foundation we made. If the foundation is not made right, I mean, the building will soon, when there's wind, it will blow away. Now, Christ himself gave us this parable. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the foolish man on the sand. So that when the wind blew, when the water came, the foolish man's house was crushed, because it was on the sand. But the wise man on the rock, and this is the picture here, the foundation of God. That's another parable that teaches almost the same thing, the foundation, where it draws our minds to Christ alone, who is our foundation. So salvation from sin is founded on the gospel of Christ. You take away the gospel of Christ, there's no foundation for salvation. Required for the gospel is the testimony of God's redemption plan for sinners. There can say, in quite dear, if you born no, if him, it's not Christ in the same person. If we say, Christ in the same person, and only dance the day and I'm going to go to the actually and say, So the gospel is the foundation. So whether we are young or old, whether we are rich or poor, Africans, Asians, Europeans, Americans, or whatever part of the world we are from, this is the only thing. Sometimes people think that, well, for Africans, we had a religion before Christianity came. It's total nonsense. Because look at all the places Apostle Paul went to preach. In Asia, other parts, in Europe, like Greece, Ephesus, and Corinth. And they were not Israelites. They were like us. They were Gentiles. They were sick into idolatry. Like our grandparents, our forefathers were sick in idolatry, consumed in all sorts of darkness. But then, it was the gospel alone that brings people out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not all the traditions of the world, like as always African traditional religion, it leads people to what? to worship, I mean, demons and all that. No matter, yes, there will be values, good values in our culture, which is okay, but the entire religion, I mean, is out of it. And the good thing, values in our culture cannot save us anyway. So no, the morals, I mean, just morals cannot save us. There should be this path. There should be this work that God has shown us, which Christ has done for us. So, the gospel itself, for wherever we are from, and the plan of salvation, there is one. God is one, and what He has done for us is one. Yet we are all sinners who needs to be saved from our sinfulness. So the first thing that the gospel declares that it declares the truth concerning the person of Christ. That's the first thing about the gospel. The gospel declares the truth concerning the person of Christ. The edikai on sempano misen sempano de no kure fan ye iskus langa san ni su. And I said, your tear no edi. Why? Because the Bible tells us here that He was the Son of God in the gospel. He was the Son of God, equal with the Father. But for our salvation, He left His glory above to take on human nature, to take on Himself human nature. This is the first thing, the gospel. If we miss this, we can never understand anything. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was equal with the Father. He is God. He is not a God. There's only one God in heaven. All are angels and servants. There's only one God. There are not two gods in heaven. And that He came to take on human nature. And this one, if we really think of it, it will strike us. How could God the Almighty come because of our sin to take human flesh? The Ekan is saying, Sempa, a fat Christo. A fat Zapa, my Ekan, a chosen Christo. On one Kasani, needs to set your tear. And only the Ekan, a dead train. Said, or any uncle Pong ever, and only a Jan Yepe, so any uncle Pong. Sir, O Jan, a new Yam was trying him. Never find any person to see any issue, and I'm born in any. If you serve a soul, ban over here, and quite yet you might admire. And in the edict, I say, see, who's had the way to Christ or young coupon, no more of a funny person to the host who are, and a young coupon, you know, empty who are, yen say, and Sempano asked. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we are told this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This particular verse tells us God, the secret of revelation of the Son of God, is something that is a great thing. Say, Yankupon, Edan, Huendi, because angels, nobody could even think of it. It's a secret, it's a mystery. Of godliness, God to manifest Himself in the flesh, it's a great thing. It's not something small. That God was manifest in the flesh. How did God manifest in the flesh? The Son of God came. He came in the flesh. He came to. They saw Him. Those who lived in His time saw Him as a human being, though He was God. Just Christ was not just an idea or some fictitious being. He was real. Those who were there recorded about Him. The Bible writes, I mean, the writers of the Bible were real persons. They wrote about Christ. So if somebody says anything, who has to give us the eyewitness testimony? Eyewitness. Who has to give us the eyewitness testimony than those who are with Him? It is the apostles and the disciples who walk with Him. So, Apostle Paul writes, say that the mystery of God, like God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the season of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. After He finished His work, everything, He went up to heaven again. This is the foundation belief of the gospel. Sir and Senpai, said Christ Oba Hunamu, Yankupon Ba Hunamu, Ah, Oba, Yema, Oba, Be, this Ajuma, and my young Pandia, we are of course trying him to move you. I was saying, yes, this idea. Sign your mind, your dream, what Bible says, your idea was so, it's great. And one so far. And again, in Philippians 2:6-8, he says that who being, referring to Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it's not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. That verse also addresses Jesus Christ, no in yang kupon. Na oba we ask him for one. When he no say, so kaso yang kupon na is ogwe yang kupon ni unyam. Ne mumno sir onwa ba ya of funny pursuit and also bears out qua. It's not of any of bomb fires in Asia. So bears out qua. Nippers number five or five obeys out qua. And now bears any pan or pancasa. Now Obas and Renobabu so or Brand of Marcy. If I babu named Rocco's action, so you'll be over Brand of Marcy and Casa. Just said, or Brand of Marcy. Now sounds to a woo year in poor Saint Yasu, who I am, who I am in Guatemala. If you say a morning here, please obey a sign you know in here, if you say a morning here. Time you know, say, dear, or say, dear, you did the ship. Time you manage, sir, where am I born in here? If I say I'm 40 morning here, or see a queen in the air, sir, it's not that idea. When if I pray my born in fact, this is the foundation for our forgiveness. So whoever claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ and even call him as his savior and fails to recognize his two natures, he has no true foundation of God for his faith. He has no true foundation. The Savior he believes in cannot save him at all. The Savior he believes in him is not Savior of the Bible. In the near BBR or true said, well, I did use to this said, or ya jum quanemum no officials on ye yankupon a yes baby obey or any pebia a doom even of barriers obey obey for then yam told the Sunny Adam. But I don't know the Bible and chess answer. Like Jim Kwana when you know Yajin Kobach me I didn't finish morning. Na jin kwa na wanya no nya jin kwa Bible no ka ho asa ko Bible twa se ya jin kwa Yesu Kristo no o nyankopon ba no ba wi asim e fa ni pasu tu no so ni nyankopon ya wa ye no enfi ho anko o be still no nyankopon o kaka so he build his glory o kaka le ni o nyam so that is why he can do so many miracles that are beyond human thinking that only God can do. Being Paul on earth as human, he could say your sins are forgiven thee. Who can forgive sin? He can give life. And bro, when we ask him, "Mukramba, now we only person who will be born here." When the born here, what sounds to me, ma nipa enkwa. When the man enkwa, niyango mope. So you see, just Christ of the Bible is this: that he was God who came as a human being. The gospel also testifies of him as the Messiah, not just a human being. Bible also sounds to us that sounds to ye, obi ani asran ngu se. Be an answer and go, sir, or so back. We are seeing by Benya Jumadima, Yakupo in the school. Peter, by revelation, said of Jesus in Matthew 16:16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, only Christ, you know, Yakupo, our tears, the Son of the living God. And his messiahship was promised by God Himself, and his sufferings and glory were prophesied by God's prophet. In the Old Testament, they all. The prophet spoke about him, that he was going to be a suffering savior, and yet they spoke about his glory. Old Testament, prophet, and Christ himself confirmed what the prophet told us, in the Old Testament, in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, after he had risen and he was about to go, he spoke this to the disciples, said that, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Christ himself tells us that all that were written has been fulfilled. Now he has finished his work, he's coming to do. And this is what Christ came to do. And you know that his coming was expected in all ages by the godly. So yes, Christ of Babe Wama Bonino. Yahu Ponko of what it's a normal thing, no money than a suit. No more, Empono, Yahu, yes, Christ of Mosem, Yahu, Mamma, my nine year clerk to say, and in the Momo, if you are sacrifices, and in your maybe a 1 year, just say, it's a much, it's no money than Christ of Babadachi. All the people of old that you mentioned from Abel, Abraham, Noah, mention all of them. They were all looking to this one sacrifice for sin. In the Gospels, we have the testimony of old Simeon when he saw the baby Jesus, when they brought him to be dedicated in the temple. In Luke chapter 2, 25-32, his words are recorded. But especially verse 30, he said that, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Many of whom he was praising God. Now, not on here, right here, you saw who Christ, we know, yeah, about the man, I say, many of whom Because Simeon, we are told that Simeon was an old person who was waiting for the Messiah. And God, I'm sure God answered his prayer. God made him to wait till the Messiah was born. And then he said, that now let thy servant depart in peace. He was now willing to die because he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. That all God has promised has been fulfilled. And this is wonderful. This is the great, the mystery of godliness, the greatness of the. Because look at the, he saw the baby Jesus. He said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. A baby who has all the weakness of a baby. He said, my eyes have seen thy salvation. That's how faith works. Faith doesn't really have to see a gangang take matters. He has to just see what God has done. Tell a JD, say, JD, you also have a share, and you man can say, but you say, who say, I do when you have one eye. That's faith. We don't need to know many big, big things and big theories. We just need to know that, we just have to know that this is what God has said, and that is it. So Simeon, look at this, and he said, look at the Savior. The baby Jesus said that my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now let thy servant depart in peace. This is the hope of every believer. That when, well, when Christ has saved me, what have I against? What have I in this world again? Nothing. Everything is pointless in this life if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is worthless. But because many people don't know Christ, the world is a big matter for them. They think they have much to do in this world. No. Believers think they have not much except to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Except to serve his cause. We have nothing better to do in this life. And that is what Simeon is telling us here. So again, his advent rekindled again the light of God's truth. Yes, you saw by, you know, next time or by, so obey I don't want to. A Kenyan young couple, JD, oh, we are seeing. Young couple, no correct, ah, not Yachron, a Kenyan. Because at the time that they got the truth of God was dimmed in the world. Entirely, both the Jews and the Gentiles, because all forms of spiritual darkness have filled the earth. The Gentiles were submerged into idolatry. All the Gentile world was in idolatry. And even the Jews also, many were holding erroneous views of the scripture. Those who had a scripture, most of the Jews, few, like Simeon and others, were really very genuine. Even the religious teachers of the time, the Pharisees and the scribes, who were even having the scriptures, most of them were ignorant of the truth of the scripture. And they couldn't draw any understanding. If Christ showed them, look into your scriptures, they are written of me. They can't see. We are blind to the truth of God. But his advent brought light. You can say, you can only cry now, what we are seeing, or the amount of us, you know, now a young rat, a small catastrophe reserve. Yen and Anum, Yenia, a manamanum for Yen and Anum, no, now Bosom Suma, a dumia, and I Oba Israel for no so of one among Yamia Samoa. Don't draw now, I can't imagine going into Yasia. And Penny Foker, I say, Babu wants them, no, in Yasia. Yes, we do. But his advent, this was prophesied by prophet Isaiah that when the Messiah comes, that is how the world will be. In Isaiah 60 verse 2, it says that, for behold, the darkness shall cover all the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Speaking to the church, speaking to the people of God, speaking to that work of God to maintain his cause in the world. There will be darkness in the world. He says, before Christ comes, but then the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came, then the truth of God rose up again. It was like something which has gone, and as the picture shows us, it was in darkness. So that those who had even the Bible, as we have today, many, many, today the Bible, we have it on our phones and wherever, but people are ignorant. People will read the Bible, but they are ignorant of the Bible. Many call themselves Christian, but if you ask them how should a Christian live, they are ignorant, because the principles of God's word are not known. As if to be a Christian, just believe in Christ and live your life anyhow. No! The Bible has to be learned. Else, how can we know the ways of God? It's in the Bible. But now many preachers and pastors cannot even preach the Bible. So how can people live to please God? No. That is the problem of today. Which is different by this charismatic and this prosperity teachers and all that. That's darkness. There's if you're a genuine believer, if you sit down to think of it, there's darkness in our world. There's the Bible is there, like in the time of Israel, people have their Bibles, and when they are teaching, they teach wrongly. They were going to the synagogues, and you know, Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ went to the synagogues at that time. Apostle Paul went to the synagogues. That's where most of the all the churches began. Those who preach in the synagogues. The Bible was never, they cannot. They were worshipping God in their own mind, but the truth of the Bible was not. Remember the Ethiopian, you know, he has gone to worship at Jerusalem, written Isaiah 53, but he cannot even see that it's about the Savior who has come to die and gone. So the Spirit sent Philip to him. That is how it is. You see, the truth of God is dark in our world today. The Bible is there, but people are ignorant. How to? Because if we don't know how to be a Christian, live as a Christian, then where are we going to? We cannot even expect the Savior because we will not desire heaven. That is why today, most Christians, when you tell them of heaven, well, they want to hear about the world and how they will prosper in the world because they have no hope in heaven. They want to think of hope. And then, before you come to Christ before, they will say, oh, Christ, oh, Christ, oh, you know, what sadness. It's like a royal person, a prince, who has been taken to different lands, and he has not been told the history of how he's a royal, and he's living like any. He's not aware of his privileges. You see? That's how many are doing. Even if they are Christians at all. The blessings of the Spirit in Scripture. The Spirit, when you are a Christian in this life, how to draw comfort from the Scriptures and the Spirit to live a happy, not like a happy in the world, but to have such a peace and contented life. Many are ignorant of. Because many are ignorant of Scripture. That is what is happening. There is darkness. Even in some who have been are believers, and as if they are believers also, but they are some who are believers, but they will be misled because some people, when you talk to them, then they become aware. It's sadness, you see. So, by the preaching of the gospel, God's gracious purpose for needlessness and His glory were made plain. So, the gospel, when it is preached clearly and it is taught as it is in the scriptures, the glory of God will be seen, and the matters of our salvation will be clear. People will not find it difficult to find a Savior. But how can people find if the gospel is covered with human opinions and lies of the most preachers of our time? Okay. The next thing the gospel does is that it testifies that all the blessings of God's grace was procured by the Savior, Jesus Christ. But in God's empowerment, I am going to and now I don't saw the time Christ, it points to the Savior, so that it everything is the Savior. In Titus 3:6-7, talking about this grace and through Jesus Christ, that which He shared on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see, through Jesus Christ, when God justifies a sinner, look on Him, because of what Christ has done, and say, no, I have cancelled his sin, He's now accepted, and He's now my child, I have forgiven Him all His sins, and then we are given that privilege of adoption. God, the heirs of, heirs according to the hope of eternal life, has to do with adoption into God's family. The Spirit comes and dwells in us, to make us feel and know that we are part of God's family. These things, is God who shares it upon our hearts. Who shares it upon our lives? Who makes us to know? Last time we were preaching about the Holy Spirit working adoption, the Spirit of adoption, we spoke about some of these things. How the Spirit works in our heart to feel that we are God's children and that we are willing, to live as such. And God has nothing against us. These are the things the Spirit does for us. And then it's the gospel that tells us it is in Christ alone that we can have these things. So that when we are brought to realize, then we'll run to the Savior. We will run to Him because it is by His work on Calvary that we are justified. It is by His righteousness that we are made righteous. It is by His holiness that we are made holy. It is by Him alone that we are who we are in God. So that if you put away Him and His gospel, we have nothing. You see? So it makes us cherish what the Savior has done. It makes us cherish His perfect obedience. And so mourn our imperfect obedience, you see. Because he took the punishment of our sin on the cross of Calvary when he died in that place. He took our shame and punishment so that all the blessings of adoption, sanctification, and its glorification, justification and glorification comes from the Savior. So it is the gospel that shows us this. In some family training, senior, a bit to me, I hope on that drum, I shall be here, and I'm just so sure, or the one ever change, and one my name will be a beam. Say, and you are the one of you, and yes, if you are going to be a woman, and you know, if you say Christopher Winton, who is saying you are the one of you. No, my name, may I be the idea, I want you, Christopher, which you are former, saying that swords are dashing down from the bay, Diana. And I'm Christos, so any example. Say, dear Rebecca, so we will count the mind. The next thing also the gospel testifies that Jesus Christ was risen when he died for sin and also will be the judge at the day of judgment. Another thing that Christ has risen up from the dead. He didn't remain dead, he didn't remain in the grave. And I think there's a hymn that I remember that. I've forgotten the name, but it goes like this, that Christ arose with the mighty, forgotten the how it goes. Christ arose, I've forgotten, but it's like Christ arose, the mighty, it's something that's so great and wonderful. Christ arose from the grave. And not just that, he will be the judge at the day of judgment. That's what was Peter reminded the house of Cornelius. You know the history, the story about Cornelius, how he was a Gentile, a military man, a Roman soldier, whom God sent, because he wanted to know God. God sent Peter to him to make him know what the truth of the gospel is. This Peter told him and his house in Acts chapter 10, verse 42. He said, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. After Christ rose, they had communion with him. So Peter said, we were eyewitnesses, we saw him after the resurrection. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. This Peter, so that's what Peter was saying. So the gospel has this thing that Christ will be the judge of the quick and dead. Christ will be the God of the judge at the day of judgment, and that he has risen also from the dead. This is one of the great truths of the gospel. Say, Christ, when you are near for me, now Christ, I don't know here, or attend well for, I will for any adjusted for me. This is it. So that we don't just think of him just as a savior, but we think of him as the one whose judgment will be held accountable for our lives. So he's not just a savior, but he's the one to judge us. Who has to whom we have to give account of our lives. You see, we have to know that, not so that we may fear his words, we may fear his command. Not that he will crush us, but then that reverence will come into our heart that we will stand before him one day. Jesus Christ, though he loves us, he has given himself for us. But if we reject and don't believe in him, he will judge us at the day of judgment. There's nothing. That's what he told them, those who were the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the priests, and who took him to Pilate and the chief. He told them that as he saw how they were really cutting corners in their judgment, trying to bring forth accusations, he told them, soon they will see the Son of Man coming in his glory. Telling them that there's going to be a time. Well, they are judging him and according to their own false way, there's going to be a particular day where there will be just judgment. He told them. You see, that is what Christ is also. And that's in the gospel testifies that Christ is now in heaven. Not that he rose, not that he'll come in judgment, but he's now in heaven. 1 Peter 3:22, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him, so that if I'm in Christ, I am saved. So, he's in heaven. And in Colossians, we are told that our believers' lives are hid in Christ in heaven. So you see, that is why Jesus Christ can tell the believers that they should not be afraid of those who will kill this body, because they cannot touch the soul. Satan himself cannot touch the soul. He can, Father God can allow him to see the body, but he cannot touch the soul. He cannot sentence anyone to hell. Only God can, and Jesus Christ can do that. So his ascension to in heaven and his session at the right hand of God testifies also the stability of himself and all the blessings he has procured for us. All that he has done for needy sinners is stable and sure. There's not in heaven where God is, nothing shakes the place. There's no changeability there. Everything is God himself is sure and stable. Nothing changes there. That is why there's eternality there. God never changes. And Christ, who is our Savior, is in heaven now. If we come to him, then we will be sure and we'll be saved. But the gospel teaches us that Christ will return to the earth again. He'll return. He'll come to the earth again. And firstly, when he returns, he will come and take those who have believed in him to heaven. This is a promise he gave to the disciples who were sorrowful when he was about to leave them in John 14. So he said that, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And this is to every believer. When Jesus Christ returns, at the day of the last trump, when the trumpet of God shall sound, we are told that those of us who have believed in him and are alive, we will be caught up. That's why people think of, they bring this doctrine of the rapture, and they think, well, there will be 1,000 years reign, and they just join things together to form a doctrine. It's interesting. The Bible tells us that Christ returns once, it's not twice. When he comes, believers will be caught up in heaven, and then judgment will flow. You see, it's a comfort to know that when the day the trumpet sounds, and it's interesting, I'm sure that sound, so to be noisy in the people, but the believers will hear that Christ has coming, because his spirit is in us, and we will know it, and we'll rise up, and we'll go and be with him. And so the second part is that he'll bring judgment on sinners who rejected him outrightly, atheists, and hard-hardened unbelievers to come, and also those who claim to be Christians but laid other foundation for their salvation. These two. You see, when we talk of unbelievers, not those who don't come to church. Those who come to church but trust in other things, are not willing to repent. They feel that, well, I can have a religion without Christ. And just because God knows our heart. God, look at that. Our text tells us that the foundation of the law standard. Let me read it to you again. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knows those that are his. He knows them by his salvation of them. He knows them by their life they are living for him. He knows them by his spirit in their heart. He knows them by the blood of Christ that has washed them. Everyone that has been washed by the blood of Christ, God knows. Everyone who has truly repented of sin and come to the Lord and bow his life and his soul to Christ, God knows. If I have not come, God knows. Well, to human beings, we can deceive ourselves, but God can never be deceived. Friends, my time is already gone, but my question is this. If you lay any other foundation, it's like making a paper boat to travel on the sea. How far can it go? So, one far around 2 feet, so I said, oh yeah, what a ship, yes, you sink yourself in that vast anger, vast wrath of God. Yes. Friend, where is your hope of salvation? Where is your hope of salvation? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you repented of sin? Have you also come to him? Have you thought of it? If your hope is in the church or in a religion or your goodies, you have no hope at all. Your hope is not solid. Any of these things can never wash you from your sins. Any of this, we can never forgive your sins. But we need forgiveness of sins. That's the sure hope. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for this purpose. He took our place and shame. He took our punishment. He took our sufferings. He shed his precious blood for the punishment for every sin we have done. Christo, maybe someone said, I'm sorry, I'll be able to pass one. And I said, well, soon. out of one ship. And I said, well, Papa, be out of his own yard. Sir, and your man, you've been with me out for 1 year. If you've been over to me every 1 year, child. Christo, the woman, Bonnet, or Calvary. Christo, now, Bexna, Yanamu, Ajay, and Yarel, any man in Hunu, any new Guasia, any your bread, oh, one of us, I can buy it. So, no, but you open a bear, say to my dear. So, she didn't want to be my son, you mean. It's open quite the house, open in chain. I'll read you the last verse and I'll be done. In John 6, it's a great. What do I just write for the disciples in general? Then said Jesus unto them, very, very, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And this one, when he said, some of them thought he's talking of physical eating and they were offended. But he's talking of spiritual life and eternal life. That when we believe on him, it will come to us. The life they were living, like, we don't know living, they were living. But he said that, tell them that if they don't believe in him, they have no life. They will not have spiritual life. If we say, no, Kasafa, Sunsumu, and Kwan, and the down Kwan, say, Uti as a crown, homie, that's why he used to end the only Kwan. Because in Kwan, Ubashin is here, Noako, or say, so faith, peace on Christ alone, for life and eternity, what Christ has done, and all that the promises we hold on to. So come to the Savior, if you have not come to him, may your faith look up to him, and may your mind feed on what he has done. That's how faith arises. May the Lord help us as we think on these things, that each one of us, who the Spirit will open our eyes to see the truthness of these things. Let's